the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Howdy, howdy.
Well, good morning to you.
Yes. It is a good
Let's
morning.
Do
well,
this.
So far we're starting out on a good note, it sounds like. Well, today happens to be the feast day of St. Camillus. And I know that's a household name, so it's easy to remember.
What I would name my child on this day.
Exactly. Yes. So let's offer up a prayer to get our show started on this good morning, this good Tuesday. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Glorious St. Camillus, turn your merciful eyes upon those who suffer and those who care for them. Grant to the sick Christian resignation and trust in the goodness and power of God. Make those who take care of the sick be generous and lovingly dedicated. Help me to understand the mystery of suffering as a means of redemption and the way to God. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Camillus, pray for us.
This is a good saint. My sister-in-law is actually going in for—
Did you do a little research on him?
Well, yeah, and is in the Magnificat today. And my sister-in-law is going in for foot surgery today, so it's really good timing. So it's like, I pray to St. Camillus for the doctors, you know, and all the people taking care of her.
Those who need care and have caregivers. Mm-hmm. This
Absolutely.
Is a beautiful prayer.
That's what he's all about. He started you will learn in the Franciscan Saint of the Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and on behalf of David Dawson, I wanted to formally apologize to all the Camilluses out there because, David, you were like, I would never name my child
that.
I would name my child that.
I didn't say never. I said I would.
You never know who's listening.
No.
There's a Camillus out there.
Yes.
So today is your day.
It is.
And we'll learn more about our Saint of the Day later.
And we celebrate you today. Yes.
Yes, we do. We have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area. We'll give you details about that. That's coming up in 8 minutes. In 18 minutes, Dawn Buettner joins us. She's a Catholic author, and today she's going to be talking about her new book called The Leaven of the Saints, Bringing Christ into a Fallen World. Looking forward to speaking to her. And in 35 minutes, Jordan Haddad joins us. He's a co-founder and president of the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society, and he's also a professor of dogmatic theology at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans. Today, he's going to be giving us an update on the St. Louis the Ninth issue, Joie de Vivre. So looking forward to that. And then he also has other updates as well. So they're busy over at St. Louis the Ninth Art Society. So stay tuned for those updates. And in 48 minutes, Sister Mary Ann Fatula joins us. She's a Dominican sister in Ohio, and she's talking about her book, The Wonders of the Mass and the Eucharist, Insights of the Saints. So looking forward to learning a little bit more with today's guests. And Damian, looking forward to today's weather report. What do you have for us?
Well, on this good day, we happen to have sauna-like temperatures. How about that? For the next 3 to 4 days, it's going to feel like a sauna. Why? Because the temperature is going to be 100 or higher.
Wow.
And the humidity is going to be in the 90% range, maybe even 96%, depending on where you live. And that, and no breeze to go with it. So it's just going
to
be hot,
you know, people pay
humid
to go to saunas. So
that's right.
Yeah, we
get
good
free
here,
in South
right?
Louisiana.
Way to think positive.
Just go outside. In fact, if you're lucky, you'll be a part of the 15% chance of rain this afternoon. Otherwise, the only moisture you'll be seeing is the sweat pouring from your body. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Covington, it's 76. Home of Thibodeau, 78. Bay St. Louis, it's 80 degrees. And over in New Orleans, 83. In the capital city in Baton Rouge, it's 77. It's also 5 after the hour, so get moving on this Tuesday morning on Wake Up.
A good Tuesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The hardness of the human heart is so great that even Jesus marvels at human resistance to his love and mercy. Specifically, Jesus marveled at the unbelief of his contemporaries and is moved to lament over the cities of his predilection, the Galilean towns close to his native Nazareth, towns from which came several of his disciples and apostles. These were the very cities where he worked the greatest number of his mighty deeds. These were the place he thought of as his earthly home. Jesus' mournful lament begins with the ominous reproach, "Woe!" His reproach expresses the hurt felt by the unrequited lover. What made the obstinacy and arrogance of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum unpardonable is the fact that Jesus not only expected them to believe in the marvelous message of his loving care, but they hardened their hearts to the witness of his miracles. Tyre and Sidon, in contrast, are two pagan cities renowned for their worldly success and fame. These two Syrophoenician cities, laden with riches and an international reputation for greatness, would have repented long ago had God showered his mercy on them as Jesus did on the Galilean cities. In comparison, Chorazin and Bethsaida were mere insignificant hamlets by the Sea of Galilee. And yet, these unrepentant cities rejected Jesus, clinging to their obstinate hearts like a miser clinging to his gold. Centuries earlier, the prophet Ezekiel voiced God's judgment on Tyre. "I am against you, Tyre, and will bring up many nations against you as a sea brings up its waves. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and pull down her towers." Capernaum was the city of Peter and Andrew, and more than any other town, it became the city of Jesus. Nevertheless, it warranted the blood-curdling rebuke. "Will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the nether world, the abode of the dead." These condemnations should be a wake-up call to every Christian for the great peril we have placed our country for rejecting God and the murder of so many innocent babies. We desperately need to repent and become prayer warriors. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Decker. Tuesday morning. Hope it's a good one for you folks. Got a number of events we want to share with you. Here's one. There will be a presentation on suicide prevention, and that's tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. and also Wednesday, July 19th, tomorrow morning from 9 to 11. It's going to be at the Catholic Life Center in Baton Rouge. Keynote speaker will be Father David Allen, who is clergy health ministry head here in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and Katie Zylix. The talks will be to help you grow an awareness of the risk factors and warning signs of suicide. You'll learn how to respond and connect with those you love and care for, and also how to deal with this issue in particular. Mm-hmm. If you'd like more information, go to ccmedia.live, but it's open to the public for everyone. It's a big place.
And it's easy to get to if you're coming in from out of town. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're coming into town, you're heading for downtown Baton Rouge, it's the Acadian exit. And you just take a right on the Acadian exit if you're coming in from New Orleans. Just go up a few blocks. You'll see it on the left.
Dave Dawson, human Google Maps.
It is. That's right. Turn left now.
He loves directions.
Yeah. But it's important.
It is.
Yeah. So All right, a school supply drive is now underway through July 30th, and the St. Catherine of Siena Women's Club is sponsoring a parish-wide school supply drive to benefit the students of Our Lady of Perpetual Help School in Kenner. The children of the Boys Town Homes and other students, all those that are in need within the Archdiocese of New Orleans. The supplies will help approximately 250 students start the school year right. So your help and support is greatly appreciated. And please check the list of school supplies most needed. And you can drop off the items at St. Catherine, Siena, now through the 30th. What a great idea.
Yes, I love that. Well, do you want to keep in touch with everything happening at Catholic Community Media? You can join our newsletter email list by going to ccmedia.live and scroll to the bottom of our website page. There you will see a sign-up form to receive our newsletter.
All right. And you know, the Thirsty for the Truth summer series is continuing. It will be on once again next Wednesday, July 26th at Abita Brewery from 6:30 to 8:30. It's just $5 to attend, but you must be 18 years or older. The next discussion will be by Father Jeffrey Montz, who is the Notre Dame Seminary professor there, and the topic will be on the occult. Ooh. And that is something a lot of folks are really interested in. CCmedia.live is where you can go to learn more and how to register and where to go and how to get there.
That's going to be interesting. St. Anne's Church and Shrine will hold their annual summer novena beginning today to July 26th. And the weekend masses are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And there'll be a healing mass with anointing of the sick on Saturday, July 22nd at 10 a.m. Novena will be held by Father Brian Walker with the theme of Nine Ways to Pray. All are welcome. St. Anne Church and Shrine is located at 3601 Transcontinental Drive in Metairie. And once again, if you need more info, go to ccmedia.live.
Yes, well, tomorrow starts the one-day mini pilgrimage over at St. Helena Parish in Amy, Louisiana, sponsored by the Marian Servants of the Precious Blood of Jesus. Reservations are required, but it's you get a lot of stuff in this one-day pilgrimage, and it's all in the flyer. So you can go to ccmedia.live to check that out. Hopefully there are some spots available, but definitely recommend looking into this retreat.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Number of events. Hopefully you'll be able to attend one or two or tell your friends about them. Don't go too far. Don Buettner is coming up talking about the book, The Leaven of the Saints, Bringing Christ into a Fallen World. You're listening to Wake Up. It's 15 after.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 18th. Today we celebrate St. Camillus de Lellis. Born in 1550 and neglected by his father after his mother's death, Camillus grew up with an excessive love of gambling. While serving in the military, he was sent to Rome's San Giacomo Hospital for incurables, suffering from a leg wound that refused to heal. In 1574, Camillus gambled away everything that he had, forcing him to accept lodging and work at a Capuchin friary. A sermon by the superior prompted Camillus to change his life and enter the Capuchin novitiate. Trouble with his leg sent him back and forth from the Capuchins to San Giacomo, where eventually he was made superintendent. Camillus devoted the rest of his life to the care of the sick. On the advice of a friend, he studied for the priesthood and was ordained in 1584. The religious congregation that Camillus founded bound themselves to serve prisoners, plague victims, and fighting troops, as well as those dying in private homes. Camillus de Lellis died in 1614 and was canonized in 1746. Along with St. John of God, he is honored as the patron of hospitals, nurses, and the sick. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up This Morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our first guest today is Dawn Buettner. Dawn is a Catholic author of her new book, The Leaven of the Saints, Bringing Christ into a Fallen World. Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Good morning, Gabby.
Tell me a little bit about your book, The Leaven of the Saints. This is quite an interesting title, so I was intrigued from the beginning.
Well, thank you. I am an adult convert to the faith. I was, like a lot of people today, young people, I was an atheist when I was in college. By God's grace, I realized that there really is a God. I entered the Catholic Church as because of our Lord's presence in the Blessed Sacrament. And when I became a Catholic, I discovered this devotion that Catholics had to saints. And I confess, I found it mystifying at first. I found every Catholic I ran into knew who Saint Anthony was and Saint Christopher. Mm-hmm. It was like some sort of hidden joke. I didn't know what they were talking about. So I found out more about the saints. I fell in love with them. I wrote my first book, which is more of a daily devotional. But my second book, I thought I would try to examine this kind of mystifying parable of our Lord's. He said, the kingdom of God is like a leaven, which a woman took and mixed into a measure of flour, leaven. And you think, what is that about? Well, there are many ways to interpret it. The way that I have found most useful is to think of it how saints, by God's grace, are leaven, in their families, in their communities, and in their cultures. And that's what I've tried to describe in this book.
That's so interesting that you talk about the saints, because of course we see them so many, or especially when you were in college and you were an atheist and your conversion as well. We see saints everywhere. They pop up in movies. They're kind of randomly spread out here and there. I actually saw a statue of Saint Francis in at Home Goods the other day with the garden decor, and I was like, oh, there he is. So they're everywhere. We see them everywhere, but do we really understand what they do and how we can pray to them as well? So can you tell me a little bit about how we can maybe find a saint, because there's so many of them that maybe we can connect with?
Well, that's really what I tried to address in my book. I feel like there are so many saints. I actually made a count of them. There are like 12,000 saints who are named and more than almost 5,000 blesseds in the church. And it's so many, it's like a forest. How can you even make sense of them? I wonder the people around us who aren't Catholic, pick on St. Francis and, a few saints. So if we stop, and so what I tried to do with my book is I tried to stop it making it look like a forest and try to make it look like a garden. Gather the saints in, like flowers, in bundles of flowers, if you might. So I just look at the martyrs, or just look at the doctors of the church, or just look at married saints, or just look at popes. And you don't have to become a priest to learn from a holy priest. So my thought was, well, if we group them together, we can kind of see how they bless us and, what lessons they teach us, so that we can incorporate those into our own lives.
Don, can you take us through your conversion story? Because we maybe know some family members who are going through this right now and maybe have lost faith in God, or are really just confused about their own trust in God or the Catholic Church. Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Well, I tell people if you want to remain an atheist or an agnostic, what you need to do is not date a Catholic. so that's what happened to me. I started dating. So I for the first time in my life, I met someone who had a faith. It's my husband now. But who had faith and had reasons for it. It made me, I know this person is intelligent, and they have faith. So I kind of scratched my head. Why do you believe these things our culture tells us is just nonsense? So that opened the door for me that, and maybe that's the first step for most people, is if you know someone who seems very far away, then good Catholics have told me many times, prayer and witness. You pray for them, and then you witness to them. You show them how you live your life. And at some point, please God, that will make them scratch their head and say, I wonder why this person's so happy, or so has peace. And they might ask you questions. So I feel like that is, an important part for everybody in a simple thing that we can do to help people understand that God is real, that he's part of our lives.
I want to talk about the second portion of your title of your book, Bringing Christ into a Fallen World. That is such a difficult thing to do for many of us, because the world is very sinful, very and can bog us down. You turn on the news for 5 minutes and you can easily become mentally exhausted. Social media, just the different things around us that really just tempt us or frustrate us. So how can we do that? Any advice that you can give us to turn to the saints to keep us focused on Christ in a world that's just absolutely chaotic?
So I feel like the saints are the perfect example for that. I think of when I was a new convert, I had a really difficult time because I wanted to be like Jesus, but I didn't deal with tax collectors. I wasn't, fishing on the Sea of Galilee. It just seemed so very different. So if you look at the lives of the saints, that's why I start my day with the saints every day, is I look at the lives of the saints. I look, how did they approach the difficulties of their lives? And sometimes that gives me the grace to kind of like bridge the gap between what would Jesus do and what should I be doing. So, and in terms of, just being overwhelmed by, the things of this world, and all the news, it just seems awful. What I've tried to do in my new book is include a lot of history. So you can kind of see, the things that we see going on in our world, the names may have changed, but the problems haven't. I mean, it's a sinful world, and every saint you can think of, they're people who lived in, really chaotic, difficult times where it looked like the world was about to end. Or, St. Catherine of Siena, for example, it was the time of the Black Plague, for heaven's sake. So many people died. So you look at them and then you can see, well, the more you know history, I think the less the news scares you. And then you can look at the lives of the saints, how they dealt with the calamitous things of the world. And really all they did was they kept their eyes on Jesus. They asked him, what do you want me to do? We can't solve problems around the world, but we can do what God has given us to do. And that's what the saints did.
Absolutely. Every year we talk about the saints that were beheaded or were martyrs because of King Henry VIII. And that was just a traumatic time and a weird time that we learn about in history. And, saints in the Colosseum. I mean, you're absolutely right. Just different circumstances, but we have to stay firm in our faith like they did as well. And those were a very interesting times. So where can we go to pick up a copy of your book, Don? The title is The Leaven of the Saints, Bringing Christ into a Fallen World.
You can find it at any Catholic bookstore. It's published by Ignatius Press. You can also go to my website, dawnbeutner.com, dawnbeutner.com. But it's sold online as well, if that's the way you prefer to buy it.
Great. Thank you so much, Don. You can also find this book in your local Catholic bookstore. And if they don't have it, maybe they could order it for you. We have plenty in our listening area, so definitely go and support them as well. Don, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but one of my favorite, he's not a saint yet, but Blessed Carlo Acutis, I have a prayer card of him right next to my computer. So when I'm answering emails or doing anything on the website, I'm just, Blessed Carlo, please help us. This is not working like it should because technology.
What's interesting he's one of my favorites. The topic that you guys are talking about, and a little later on, I'm going to be talking to Sister Marianne Fatula, and it's also praying through the saints and the saints' understanding of the Mass. So this is kind of a intercession of the saints kind of day, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And one of the things that I found interesting from her interview is, especially during her conversion story, is to never give up on a family member or a friend who has fallen away. Keep praying for them and act in charity, and because they're watching you. So just absolutely incredible. Saint Monica is one of those saints that you can pray to for mothers or fathers or anyone who's seen someone who has fallen away from the church. I know a lot of people are experiencing that as well. But one of the things I want to talk about is Walking with Moms in Need. This is such a wonderful program and service, and it is a time of service in which Catholic parishes and communities walk in the shoes of local pregnant and parenting women in need. Any woman who is facing a challenging or unexpected pregnancy, or who is parenting young children in a difficult or unexpected circumstances, and we know with inflation and things going up, things can be very difficult this time for single parents and mothers and fathers in need. But If you need to know anything about this, you can go to ccmedia.live. But this is such a wonderful opportunity to go and help those who need it the most. Also, if you have an event in our listening area that you want to tell others about, you can go to ccmedia.live and click on events and news. And there is a submit your event form that you can go. There are plenty of events on there as well. And I know we're getting into the school year and the fall, and I know it's hot today, but we are getting into that time of year.
It's hard to picture that right now,
If you have a gala or an event, you can submit that on our website as well. Even that Christmas gathering, I know that's like, okay, why are we talking about this? But, you know, even something next summer, we have had stuff for next year. So the calendar goes on and on. It's absolutely free for us to talk about it and have it on our calendar.
What we do.
Stay with us. Yeah, Jordan Haddad joins us from the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society. He has a lot of updates he's going to be giving us details about. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Before the top of the hour on this Tuesday morning, welcome back to Wake Up, and we're tuning your heart to the truth because that's what we believe, and we know you do too. With us now, Jordan Haddad. He is co-founder and president of the St. Louis Ninth Society and professor of dogmatic theology at Notre Dame Seminary, here to talk about the current issue of Joie de Vie and a number of other things that the society is taking part in. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning. It's good to be with y'all.
Well, it's good to have you again. And where do you want to start? Because, again, you've got a number of activities taking place. The one thing I do want to touch on, and I think we even can show this to our viewers who are watching on Catholic Life TV, recently you guys created and installed a 5-foot by 7-foot oil painting entitled The Baptism of the Ethiopian, which I think is beautiful.
Oh, look at that.
At St. Philip Catholic Church in Vacherie, huh?
Yeah, so that was one of our, or that was our latest SL9 Art Fund projects, where we partner with a local benefactor. In this case, it was Mr. Matthew Morin with the Knights of Columbus, to commission one of our artists to create an original piece of sacred art for either their church or their school to enliven the hearts and form the minds and faith of their parishioners for generations to come. And so that piece that you're talking about there, we commissioned SL9 artist Blair Gordy Pieris to paint the scene of St. Philip baptizing the Ethiopian, who was found to be, you know, reading from the Old Testament, unsure of what it meant. Philip came over and catechized him a bit. He requested baptism. So you see that scene being depicted of the skies opening above and the Spirit descending upon him in his moment of baptism.
Yeah, and you bring it to life, and in fact, it looks like real life. She did a beautiful job, and I loved even the subtle things, the carriage in the background,
because
the carriage plate was brought up while the Ethiopian was traveling. And so anyway, if you're in Vacherie, go to St. Philip Catholic Church. It's beautiful, and you get to see a beautiful piece of art.
You know what? You can also, Damien, go on the stream later and watch the archived show this morning, and you can see a little image of it there too, or on YouTube. So there's other ways of seeing it too. Boy, that's a beautiful picture though, huh?
Yeah, or you could pick up, I guess, a copy of Joie de Vie, huh?
Yeah, even better.
That's right. And my favorite part of that painting is if you look really, really closely at the Ethiopian's head, you can see tiny little water droplets. Like he just was had the water poured over him 3 times. The water is still fresh on him. And if you look below at his feet, you can see the water rippling around his feet, like the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, like we hear in Genesis chapter 1. Wow. So there's awesome little nuggets spread throughout that painting.
Yeah, yeah. And is it something that is discussed with the artist while they're painting it, or does that just get incorporated in as time goes on? In other words, the Holy Spirit is part of this painting.
Right. And our artists put in a lot of hard work when they're researching a given project, so that it can be more than just a really pretty picture, but so that it has deep theological symbolism and meaning. And so part of their preparation process is doing a lot of research about the biblical scene or about a given saint or whatever it might be, so that it can have layers of depth and meaning that can not only please the eyes, but really nourish the mind and the heart too.
Great, great. All right, recently you guys launched a fully licensed nonprofit sacred architectural firm. I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but I'm going to give it a shot. Sainte Chapelle Studios?
That was close enough. That was really good.
Oh, okay. Tell us about it. I know we're going to be talking to Joe Bass and Nathaniel Frank next week on the subject, but give us a little heads up of what and why.
Sure. So, you know, the Lord always has more in store for us than we can, you know, imagine or realize at a given time. So when we started the St. Louis Sinaitic Art Society 2 years ago, we didn't expect that 2 years later we would have launched a fully licensed sacred architecture firm, mm-hmm. you know, as a new arm of the society, as it were. But it was a natural sort of development from working on some larger scale sacred art projects with a local pastor, realizing that in order to accomplish this church beautification, you know, we need more than just painting and installing beautiful images, but, you know, even the very design and architecture of a building itself is, you know, it says something, you know, it itself is a homily in a way. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really natural pairing when looking at, you know, beautifying and renovating spaces and preserving sacred spaces in particular, that we'd be able to pair artist with architect to really do some large-scale projects. And so I'm excited y'all will get to talk with Nathaniel Frank, who's our who's the principal architect at Sainte Chapelle Studios, who's really an accomplished sacred architect and really brings a lot to the society, so that we can serve the Lord and the church and in a greater way by taking on pieces of projects that otherwise we wouldn't have been able to previously.
So is that one of the things that is like a first for you guys regarding helping transform at Sacred Heart Catholic School? From what I understand, you're taking the art classroom and you're turning it into an adoration chapel.
Yeah, so last October, whenever it was time for IGF Catholic, we were kind of, you know, doing some prayer, thinking about what should be the next big project that we engage with. What do we want to ask the community to support during IGF Catholic? And after a great conversation with Father Josh Johnson at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, we decided to focus on their art classroom in their school, mm-hmm. which at one point was an adoration chapel, but for one reason or another, I'm not sure what the story is, but for one reason or another was transferred to an art classroom. And Father Josh had this deep desire as pastor there to turn it back into an adoration chapel. And so this summer, while the kids are away enjoying their summer break and doing all of their math packets and assigned readings, we are turning their art classroom back into a beautiful adoration chapel, replete with beautiful sacred imagery by Blair Pierce and some original woodworking by Andrew Coleman. And we've, you know, kind of had the place touched up and freshened up, and we're going to put some pews in there, and it's all going to hang together quite beautifully. So this is our first larger scale project that we're engaging in mm-hmm. as a society, and I just couldn't be more excited about it.
When is it expected to be finished by the time school begins?
That's the plan. The plan is to have it ready by the time the kids come back. Or, you know, we've encountered a couple of little bumps in the road, but I think we'll still meet that deadline.
Well, that's great. I hope you at least found another place for the art classroom, or it kind of goes against your beliefs, being an art society.
Yeah, that's right. The way I see it is the final end and fulfillment of an art classroom is a chapel space, but of course we also need a to relocate that art space to a different classroom as well.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, we've got about 30 seconds. Jordan, anything you want to add? Because there are a number of articles. It's a great publication, the summer issue. What is it you want to highlight before we wrap up?
Absolutely. So we just published our summer 2023 issue of Joie de Vivre. Various and many parishes across the region have placed orders. So it's in the hands of many parishioners, as well as all of our different individual subscribers. It's a great issue with essays from a whole range of wonderful Catholic people in the region and beyond, from Coach Pulmonary to Dr. Nathan Masnack and Caitlin Gilson and many, many others about all the different aspects of Catholic art and culture and faith and life. So it's a great issue. I hope everyone will visit us at jdvjournal.com to order their copy and get ready for our fall issue, because it's going to be even better than our summer.
Jordan, wow. Jordan Haddad, thank you so much, my brother. We've got more on Wake Up.
48 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. David Dawson, along with Damian Collada and Gabby Smith. And our guest this morning is Sister Mary Ann Fatula. Am I saying that right, sister?
Yes, it's perfect, David. Thank you.
Great, great. We're going to be talking about your book, The Wonders of the Mass and the Eucharist, Insights of the Saints. And my first question for you, sister, is what inspired you to write the book?
May I first just ask the Holy Spirit to anoint our entire conversation and to bless your listeners and their loved ones, and let everything in us that we speak and that we are be for the Trinity's glory. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you.
I do believe the Holy Spirit himself drew me to want to know, to find the most beautiful writings, the most tender writings of the most wonderful saints whom I love. I actually did it for my own kind of help to rest in the Lord. But the more I read these beautiful saints, the more I did believe that others would be so inspired to come to the Mass more frequently, to be there with more faith and love and devotion, and to receive the Lord and want to be with him throughout the day. So I pray that that is what will happen for those who read The Wonders of the Mass and the Eucharist, because these saints are absolutely without compare in the sweetness, the tenderness, but also the depth of their writing. They are truly anointed by the Holy Spirit.
And yes, indeed.
Nothing of my own is in this book. It's all the saints. And we're drawn, I find myself drawn back to them again and again. I want to savor their words. They draw us into these mysteries.
That's beautiful. I am looking at the saints you have here. You've got Thomas Aquinas, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, John Henry Newman, St. Jean Vianney, Teresa de Lisieux, and Pope St. John Paul II. You've got all my favorites here.
Oh, wonderful. and mine too.
So what they're doing is they're reflecting upon the beauty of the Mass, correct?
Yes, and you know what I love about their beautiful insights, David, is that they don't present to us so much a how-to book. They are contemplating the profound mysteries of what truly happens at Mass.
Right.
That Jesus himself is making present to us. We are there at his Last Supper. We are there at his crucifixion. He gives us his precious body, which suffered on the cross for us. He gives us his sacred blood to drink, because we receive the whole of him every time we receive the Lord in the Eucharist. We are drinking that blood which was shed on the cross for us.
Yeah.
And he's present in the Blessed Sacrament. The same Lord who healed the sick and raised the dead is physically ours.
Wow.
And they reflect on these beautiful mysteries, and they draw us to the Mass and to the Lord in the Eucharist.
Well, that's what's beautiful, is to be able to reflect, especially probably right before Mass, because we have a tendency, Mass is offered all the time, and sometimes we get a little too used to it, and we just go through the motions. But to have a deeper appreciation, especially of the sacrament of the Eucharist, and there's quite a few reflections on the Eucharist itself, correct? Or is it the whole order of the Mass?
Well, no, actually, they don't present to us what so much a reflection on what we see the priest doing.
Okay.
They present to us the mysteries that we don't see with our eyes.
Oh,
wow. What is truly happening at Mass. And they draw us to, I mean, if we had an advertisement today that the Lord himself would be physically present at our
local
church.
Could you imagine? Yes.
I mean, we wouldn't be able to get near to the church.
Right.
But this is what happens at every Mass. And as you say, what I find, David, is that tasting, savoring these insights of the saints, we're drawn to come to Mass early and to stay afterwards. I one prayer I have is that priests would maybe make a gentle but strong admonition that the church is a place of silent adoration.
Yes.
When people want to visit, let them visit, you know, in the vestibule or outside. But when you come before the Lord, let people have that space and time to pray before Mass and to be with the Lord after Mass. I think this would help us tremendously to really enter into and savor and take advantage of all the transforming, healing power the Lord wants to give us at the Mass and in the Eucharist.
I am inspired, Sister, because I'm starting to see it more and more. Folks are stopping after Mass. And in fact, as I'm processing out, with my family, and I see the people staying, and I see entire families staying, I think that's quite the beautiful thing.
Beautiful.
Isn't
it? Oh, that touches my heart, David. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And I guess I'm sure it's prayers of gratitude and such for what just took place.
Absolutely.
And probably a wonderful thing for kids to learn, too.
Mm-hmm. I love this beautiful comment that St. Teresa of Avila makes. She says, you know, when we invite a dear friend to our homes, we don't immediately leave.
Right.
We stay with our friend. And she said, let us not insult the Lord by inviting him into the home of our heart and then immediately leaving him. I mean, of course, he stays within us, but let us pay attention. And again, I love St. John Vianney, who says, we don't need a lot of words. Just let us rest in his heart and let him love us like the Apostle John did. He just rested on the heart of the Lord. And Teresa of Avila says, the Lord doesn't want to tire us out by our using a lot of words. Let us just rest in him and beg him to be for us all that he wants to be for us, for our families. The most beautiful, healing, transforming power is available to us at Mass and in the Eucharist. I love how St. Alphonsus Liguori says, if we would just spend some time with the Eucharistic Lord, we would find the remedy for every one of our problems.
My goodness. My goodness. I can only imagine. Yeah. Sister, that is amazing. And I tell you, if you write this book, if you've written this book with the passion that you're speaking about the book, I can't wait to get it. tell us where we can get the book, Sister.
Yes. It is available at sophiainstitute.com, The Wonders of the Mass and the Eucharist. And I pray every day for all those who may be reading the book, so that the saints will just sink into their souls their beautiful, beautiful love for the Lord. And I do really believe, I know their insights have changed my life, and I pray that this little book, that Wonders of the Mass and the Eucharist, available at Sophia Institute, .com, a beautiful publishing company. There, all of their staff deeply love the Lord and want to glorify him. So I feel very privileged that this little book has come out through their publication.
Yes, indeed. I'm excited, and I can't wait to get it now.
Oh, God bless you, David.
Sister Mary Ann, real quick, I always have to ask, who's your favorite saint? And we only have 10 seconds, but who is it?
Well, I think, in Dominican, I love Thomas and Catherine, but I think in the book, my most favorite saint is St. John Chrysostom. Thomas draws from him, Catherine draws from him without realizing it. He is an unrealized treasure in the church. His writings are so profound and so tender.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you. Aww,
Sister Marianne, thank you. We appreciate
God
it. Thank you for your gift. And we will get this book. We appreciate you joining us.
Yeah.
What a joy to speak with you. May the Lord bless all of your listeners. God bless you, sister.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Gosh, I want to give her a hug.
She's so
nice.
What passion. Isn't that beautiful?
You know her last name, Fatula?
Means?
Beauty of God.
I didn't. Oh, well, go ahead, Damien.
Yeah,
She is reflecting it.
So.
Exactly. She's doing it right. Mm-hmm. And today begins the novena for St. Anne, so we'll have a prayer to her in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray for us, good St. Anne, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Gracious God, who chose St. Anne to bring into the world the mother of your only Son, mercifully grant to us who devoutly honor her memory the grace of happiness in this life and the joy of life with you for all eternity. Amen.
Amen.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.